Welcome to your home for Red Fox Athletic News. This is the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. Here are your hosts, Andrew, Damaya, and Antonio.
Touchdown!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, and today I'm joined by
Damaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, HHSRedFoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and 5-star rate. So, how's our week been, guys?
My week been good. I like Friday night thing because I feel like a construction worker.
Oh, Friday night was
a little thing over my cheer uniform and the glow sticks. It was fun.
Friday night was a very interesting night.
It was. Winning back to back feels good, I ain't gonna lie. My weekend or week was good, you know. Over the weekend I got a little bit of rest, but like I went with my sister's boyfriend and I went up there to a studio. And, you know, watch him do his thing. And, you know, that's pretty interesting how they, you know, work the studio and all that. So, what about you, bro?
You know, I went to the game. Well, went to the game late, got there late. Went to the student section because I ain't seen Coach English. So, when I got there, it was just lit. When y'all scored a touchdown, you know, they lifted me up into the crowd. I was crowd surfing. You know, best moment of my life, my existence.
That's good.
I got a question for you, Antonio. So, like, what are y'all now in region?
We're 3-0 in region, though.
Who y'all beat recently? I know y'all just beat West Florence, right?
No, we're 2-0. My fault. Yeah, we beat West Florence and North Myrtle Beach. Now Myrtle Beach next week. We got a bye week this week, so we don't got no games this week.
At a home game?
No, it's a away game at Myrtle Beach. Oh, that's going to be tough.
You're down bad, bro.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
On that bus ride. And now it's time for our favorite segment, Red Fox Week in Review.
Looking back on September 23rd, the Hartsville High varsity volleyball team defeated North Myrtle Beach, ending in 5 sets. The first set, 25-18. The second set, 17-25. Third set, 25-20. Fourth set, 25-20. And the fifth set, 12-15. Leading the Red Foxes were juniors Darisha McAllister, 4 aces, 5 kills, 8 serves, 3 blocks, 10 digs. Brooke Isgett, 5 aces, 9 kills, 1 assist, 20 serves, 1 block, 10 digs. Emmy Isgett, 2 aces, 10 kills, 16 serves, 11 digs. Sierra Ganey, 2 aces, 1 kill, 3 assists, 26 serve, 25 digs. And Morgan Majors, 6 kills, 19 assists, and 5 digs. The Lady Foxes took action again on Saturday, September 25th, against 3 teams, Sun Valley, Gilbert, and Legion Collegiate Academy. The Hartsville volleyball team ended the 3 games with a tough loss. As the Lady Foxes go into action again on Thursday, October the 7th, against South Florence Bruins, we would like to continue to wish them good luck this week.
Not for football. Last week, the West Florence Knights traveled to Hartsville Red Fox Stadium for a regional game. The Foxes utilized their defense to the fullest, limiting the West Florence Knights in their run game. The Foxes became victorious with the score being 33-13, leaving the Foxes 2-0 in the region and the Knights 4-1. The player of the games were Tajay Peterson, 12 tackles and 2 tackles for loss, and McKendree Douglas with 6 for 11 on passing and 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown.
For cross country, last week the Hartsville High School cross country team had a team meet. At this meet, the Foxes came back with great results. Freshman Jonathan McIntosh had an exceptional run, which secured him in a first place win. McIntosh is thrilled as this is his first ever win. Jonathan really worked hard to secure this, he stated. You've got to get there. You've got to win. As if I stop now, I'm not going to win. With 100 meters left, this person nearest to him was 200 meters behind him and said, I knew I won the race. McIntosh has trusted the process of his hard work paying off. Without the hard practices and workouts, his team are pushing him to be the best. He wouldn't be where he was without them today. And that's our Red Fox Week in Review.
Now we would like to welcome to the show motivational speaker, Edward Wilson.
How y'all doing?
Good. What about you?
I'm great, great. Thank y'all so much for having me on the show today.
Yes, sir.
So, where are you from?
I'm originally from Elliott, South Carolina, which is probably about 15, 20 minutes away from Hartsville. Grew up in Elliott, but now I reside in Columbia, South Carolina.
Was sports a big part of, your life growing up?
Growing up, sports was a big part of my life. Now, I heard you guys earlier talking about organized sports and the football, cross country, and everything, volleyball that was going on. We didn't have organized sports growing up. Well, we had, let me change that. We had organized sports through high school, but the excitement came from backyard football, backyard basketball, backyard baseball. So when you guys had the rims, you guys had the fiberglass backboards, there were some days we didn't even have backboards, and our rims was made out of tires, like your bicycle tires. Like, we took the spokes out and made basketball rims. So, you know, shooting a shot wasn't nothing for us. We didn't need a backboard. We grew up, a little on the hard side compared to how you guys have it nowadays.
I can relate to that because a lot of people in my neighborhood, we go down the street and play football in the yard and stuff.
It's a great thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's an adrenaline rush. You know, you get to do what you want to do.
Because you know everybody on the field, the other team, and you know your team. So, yeah.
Correct.
It's cool.
Correct.
To say I'm a girl, I used to always play with all my brothers in the backyard.
All right. So, nationally, 76% of inmates, you know, go back into jail. So, what made you change your life around?
Oh, man. Responsibilities. For me, I guess the big thing would be responsibilities. When you think about statistics and you think about as young men being incarcerated, you have to ask yourself, do you want to live this life or do you want to live that life? You have to make the right choice because you have options. But it's your will. It's your will to do right or it's your will to do wrong. Whatever you decide determine your outcome as an individual. So the statistics are what they are, but I just thank God, man, that I'm not a statistic when it comes to the incarceration rate, and just to think about my life now where it is to where it was before. Not that I haven't done some things that I may have to question myself on before, but I just thank God that I was given another opportunity to be able to get things right, to be able to live a life now that I'm living. So,
yeah, that's good.
I like the mindset that you got. What did it have to take for you to have that, for you to set that mindset, have that mindset?
Well, to be honest with y'all, man, I grew up in a household where my father wasn't there. But love was always in the household. And when I say love, I was talking about this on a podcast earlier this week, where my grandmother raised me. And my grandmother always taught me to have respect. And one thing she would always say is respect will carry you farther than money will. And so, you know, growing up, you don't think that that's true, but it is true. You know, if people see you as a teenager and they see that you are well-rounded, not just a great athlete, not just a great individual, but you have respect and you have manners. You're saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You're opening doors for them. I saw those things coming up because those were the things that my grandmother exemplified as an individual. She also exemplified hard work, dedication, and also serving others. Now, like today, with you all having me on the show, I'm thankful for this opportunity. Just to be able to see the younger generation, which I call the now generation, doing great things. So when I have to think about my mindset shift, my mindset shifting would be because of what I've learned growing up. Like I told y'all earlier, did I do everything right? No, I didn't. But I always knew right from wrong. But it was my will. To do wrong when I did wrong, but it was also my will to say, you know what, I want better out of life. And my expectation, what I expect is what I'll get because that's what I'm seeing. What I expect is what I'm going to get because that's what I'm seeing. And like I talked earlier about speaking it, believing it, and walking in it, that's something that I stand strong on now. And that's what keeps my expectation level at the the highest peak that it can go, because I just believe if I do good, I'll get good. You know, if I do bad, I'm going to get bad. Because what you give is what you get, you know, and what you're doing to others, what you make happen for others. You know, I just believe that God will make happen for you. So me, I have to stay on this path because I know the benefits of staying on this path. So that's what keeps me grounded. That's what keeps me focused. And that's what keeps me with a positive mindset.
How do your early career choices lead you to where you are now?
Like I told y'all earlier, man, in my life, I wasn't in a great place. I was in a good place, but I wasn't in a great place. And I have to take it back to growing up the way that I did. Just giving my grandmother's, you know, God bless today, Erling Wilson, giving her kudos and her acknowledgments while she was living. And even now that she's gone, I have to give it to her for the simple fact that she taught me a lot. She taught me a lot. And I just have to just stand strong on what I believe. Just stand strong on what I believe.
Back to what you were saying about respect and all that. Like when you was talking about respect, takes you farther than money will. It does, cause I went to a gas station one time, and I misleft my card. I thought I had it in my pocket, and I was trying to put $30 in gas, and the lady behind me, she was like, "What, you don't got your card?" And I was answering, "Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am." All that, you know, using my manners and all that, you know, being respectful, and she paid for it. Because, you know, manners take you a long way, too, as well. So
it does.
So that opened up my eyes, and, you know, so.
And that's the thing what I would like for a lot of, you know, teens, period. Not just only student athletes, but teens, period. A lot of people say, oh, I didn't get a fair shake. Or everybody look for examples or say, oh, my dad's not in my life. Or I grew up without this. I grew up without that. My biggest thing was those things that I didn't have, I used that for fuel to get what I needed. You know, the things I didn't have, I used that as fuel to get what I needed. There were friends of mine that had mom and dad in the same household, was working, doing what they needed to do. But one thing I always stood on, and my grandmother raised us to be church, go to church, have manners, have respect. Don't go with your pants sagging. Look presentable. That's why one of the biggest things I believe in is presentation. Looking the right way. What if you got your own style, or your style is unique because it's you? Make it your best style. Be creative, but be creative in the right way. You know, and I see a lot of guys, you know, with their pants sagging, and then you're expecting to get respect. How can you get respect if you're not respecting yourself? And so that's one big thing. If I could reach a youth, if I could reach a teen, if I could reach a millennial, to have them understand that even with respecting someone else, you got to be able to respect yourself. And I just think that's one thing that really kind of, well, I can say kind of, one thing that irks me, just to see young men with their pants sagging. And they may call it a fashion, a fad, or whatever. I just think it's a lack of them respecting themselves. So respect is key. Respect is key. And I know you've seen that when the young lady did what she did in paying for your gas. And that's something you want to always keep in the forefront of your mind. If that young lady paid for your gas because you had respect, think about so much more you can get in life by having respect someone else. Because individuals out there are looking for young men and women to help, but they're also looking to see how their character is coming across. Yes, ma'am, to no, ma'am, to see how you handle other individuals. So I think that was great for you, to a great example for you to keep in the forefront of your mind. So whenever you get in that place to, always remember that woman at the gas station that day, because you had respect, she did what she did for you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
I want to go back to like what you were saying about, you know, people with the pants sagging, not looking presentable. I understand what you're saying, and like, because, like, clothes is what the first thing, when you're talking to an adult, clothes and how your tone is, that's what they look at first. So, like, I just want to say I understand what you're saying.
And then you think about the college recruits that come in, as far as, let's just say sports, but think about the college counselors that come in just to check your GPA, or like when y'all have college day, career day, people that come in and want to hire you for a job. These people are looking for individuals that will represent their company, represent their university, represent their own business, because you have entrepreneurs that come in looking for young individuals that are thriving to be successful, but they don't want somebody that's running their business that doesn't look presentable. So at the end of the day, your representation would be in representation of that business or that individual. So that's always key, just to be able to do it on a consistent basis. Just like I said earlier when I was talking with the group, what will you do when the lights are off, when nobody's watching? So repetition is what makes you better. Even though you may do the same thing over and over and over again to make you a better individual, but it helps. Because what happens with repetition, it becomes normal. It becomes a habit. So now you don't have to think about it. You're automatically doing it.
I heard a quote when I was younger, and I kind of live by it now. It's like, always do the right thing even when no one's looking. I kind of live by that. Even though sometimes I fail at it, I still, you know, try my best to live by it. Do you have a quote you like live up to?
Things are not as good as it seems. Things are not as bad as it seems. Somewhere in between, reality falls. Things are not as good as it seems. Things are not as bad as it seems. Somewhere in between there, reality falls. So when I hear that, and when I've been hearing that throughout college, God bless the day my college football coach, Coach Darren McNeil, would always tell us that. And, you know, we kind of got a hold to it for just hearing it so much. No matter how bad a situation looks, no matter how good a situation looks, in between there, reality falls. The reality may be, how are you going to handle the situation, even if it's bad or good? The reality is your response.
So what motivated you to become a motivational speaker?
Life.
Life?
Life. I got a story to tell. I told y'all earlier, I grew up without a father. Some days it may have bothered me. Well, as a kid, it really didn't bother me like that, because I just wanted to have fun. I had uncles and close people to me that would make sure I get certain things, do certain things, and they were trying to be examples for me. That male figure, they were doing the best that they could to do that. But when I got older, that's when it started to kind of play with me a little bit. You know, I guess when I was younger, my mind was more in a boom, boom, go, 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 go mode. But then when I got older and had some time to sit down and really think about some things and analyze some things, and me seeing my grandmother and you know, my immediate family work so hard to make sure that we had everything we need. For me, some days, honestly, I questioned myself, you know, as a man. Some days I questioned myself as a father, because, you know, there's not a blueprint that's written on fatherhood. There's not a blueprint that's written of being a man. But somewhere in there, you have to take accountability for where you are. And so with me not having that father figure or that father in my life is what drove me to say, hey, I want to be the best father that I can be to my kids. I want to be the best man that I can be to my wife. I want to be the best mentor that I can be to young individuals that may have the same drive that I have and maybe in the same situation that I'm in now by not having a father figure. So that's what drove me to being a motivational speaker. That's what drove me to being a mentor, because the statistics for what's happening now with the incarceration rate, a lot of that comes from guys looking for love, guys looking for a validation, because they didn't get it from a father in the household. And so what they do is they go out to the streets, they go out to the gangs, they go out to different places to get that void that was being empty, get it filled with things that they were getting it filled with. If it is negative, but it's still filling a void, and they feel good because they never knew, they never had an example to show them love. So they fell for the streets. They fell for the gangs. They fell for the things that will put them in that place to where they shouldn't be in. So that's what drives me now to do mentoring. That's what drives me to do motivational speaking. I just love to see kids do well. and have people behind them, and they know that they have somebody behind them that's supporting them, that's pushing them, that's motivating them to be the best that they could be.
Just by being a motivational speaker, like, how does it make you feel that you know people look up to you and able to, like, feed off of what you be saying?
That's a great question. And that's a great question. And I'm sitting here now thinking, because I was on a conversation with one of my sisters this morning. She called me and she wanted to pray for me and talk about some other things. And before she called, I had just had that conversation with my wife with what she called me to pray about. So she confirmed what me and my wife was already talking about. When you're on display, and when I say display, when you're involved in a lot, whether it's ministry, whether it's coaching, whether it's mentoring, whether it's motivational speaking, you have to be very attentive to everything that you do, all the people that are around you, different things that you're involved in. Because when people are looking up to you, not that they're putting you on a pedestal or just putting you like just on another level, but they're looking at you in the eyes of somebody that inspires them, motivates them, encourages them, and they also critique that person's life. So I know I have to live a life that's not only pleasing to man, but a life that's pleasing to God as well. So at the end of the day, everything that I do should please God first, and everything else it'll fall under that. So I have to keep my stuff in line, the way I speak, the way I handle people, going back to having respect and respecting myself and also presenting myself in the right way. So those are the key things that would put that in perspective.
Is there a certain group of people you like talking to the most?
Youth. Youth and millennials, man. Youth and millennials. I was telling Coach E earlier, we did the podcast the other night, and it really, really inspired me and motivated me, man, to really get back with the youth and the millennials, to really tap back in. Because I think about adults. I can speak all day to motivate adults, you know, and adults get in their own mode. Adults get in that way of, well, I know I can do this, I can do that, I don't need you to tell me. But then you run across some adults that are open and ready to receive what it is that you're saying. But when it comes to youth and millennials, they're hungry. Like, they're hungry because they want to do it the right way. And like I said earlier, we were created to stand out and not fit in. So a lot of people that are looking for validation, a lot of people that are looking for the pat on the back, those are the individuals that are going to be like, yo, man, I love what you said. Thank you so much. And the youth and the millennials are what drives me now. And that's the group that I love speaking to. Love speaking to, because they're looking for it. And think about it. I always say the youth, people always say that's Generation X. That's our generation. No. The youth are our now. The millennials are our now. Because if you look at the way everything is going, TikTok is catered toward who? The millennials, the youth. You think about Facebook, you think about the older generation. You think about IG, or you think about Twitter. Who do you think about? You're thinking about the millennials. You think about the youth. So at the end of the day, I want to be in a place to where there's nothing wrong with helping the adults, but if I can reach youth every day, I'm good.
Yeah, because the youth is where it starts from. So.
Correct.
Yeah, like just by saying the youth, you got young people out here that's trying to do right, but they just don't have nobody to talk to do right.
Don't got nobody to look up to.
Yeah. Right. Right, but that's why when we started the conversation earlier, the dialogue up top, when I was speaking and the young man that respond and answer right away, that's what I did for him, because he wasn't afraid. And even if you're in a place as a youth, what I would love for you guys to do, even the ones that may go back and listen to this podcast or that listening now, if you guys would, if you need help, don't be afraid to ask for help. Find somebody that you have sought out. You've watched this adult carry themselves in a particular way, and it's like, man, I got to talk with someone. I got to speak with someone. Find you someone that you can really talk to, that you know would take the time and really hear what it is that you have to say. Speak what it is that they have to speak into you. That's going to help you understand, I don't have to commit suicide because I'm dealing with so much. I don't have to give in to peer pressure because I'm trying to fit in. I don't have to overdose on drugs, or I don't have to use drugs, or I don't have to do this to fit in. What can I do to make sure that I'm doing the right things? Find you somebody that you can really tap into. Find you somebody that you can confide in, that you know, an adult that's going to give, or a mentor that's going to give you what you need to make sure that you're overcoming all those obstacles that comes your way. Because as youth, y'all deal with a lot. Y'all deal with a lot. And some of y'all deal with more than adults deal with, but y'all don't have nobody to pour out, or somebody that you can, if you have to cry, that you can cry with without judging you. You know, because I know the problem you run up against when you want to tell your friends, then now you in fear of, oh, I wonder if my friend's going to go tell somebody else. Or if my friends get mad with me, will they go spread my business? So now you're second guessing yourself from even talking to anybody. And if you think about it, it's better out than in. Because if it's in, there's so much that you can, there's so much harm that can be done to you eternally, because you talk about mental, you talk about health-wise, physically, there's so much. When you deal with problems, either you're overeating or you're not eating. You know what I'm saying? Or if you're dealing with problems, you either smoking or you drink it and you think that it's cool, or I'm sneaking and doing it. Remember what I said, what you do when the lights off. What are you doing when the lights off? And so when people get, the lights are off, that's like you're in a dark place. In some people's world, when the lights are off, you're in a dark place. But when the lights are on, it's like, oh man, okay, I can see, I can move, I can maneuver. But when you're in that dark place, make sure you have somebody that can bring you to the light, that will speak life into you. But you got to make sure that you're connected to the right people that's going to help you get to where you need to be at.
Does the job you mess with, does the job you do mess with like your family time, you know?
Well, you know what? When I first got into it, because I'm self-employed, I'm an entrepreneur, and my business is UTU Enterprises. So I deal with a lot of stylists, barbers, in the beauty industry. And so it took a lot of my time. It took a lot of my time, a lot of my family time. But one thing I loved about it, even with me having my own business, being an entrepreneur, it still gave me a flexibility to be able to be here for games or be there for games and show up for different things. Because I had my own, I was able to do that. But when I really had to balance, because balance is a big part of your life, you can have so much going on till you forget about what's important, that you forget about you got a wife, that you forget about you have this going on or you have that going on. I had to realize the balance, and that's what helped me a whole lot. The balance. I had to balance family time. I had to balance business. I had to balance studying time, reading the word. I had to do all that. So having a balance is what really helped me. But when I first started, I was just, man, let me chase the money. Let me chase the money. Not even thinking about nothing else. Now, I had the freedom, but it was like, let me chase the money. So balance is key. Balance is the number one thing that I would tell, even now, as youth, as high school students or student athletes, balance is the key. Because you think about it, if you're always thinking about football, 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 working out, when is your time to study? When is your time to take time to just woo-sigh or talk to your parents or confide in whomever you need to confide in? When is that time if you're always thinking football, football, football? When is that time if you're always thinking study, 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 study? There's nothing wrong with it, because the word says study to show that self-approval. But you also got to think, if you're studying, studying, studying constantly and you're not taking a break, then you're going to have a mental. It's going to be a mental breakdown because that's all you're doing. So you got to have a time to woo-sigh. You got to have a time to relax. You got to have a time to listen to some music to just bring you back to that peaceful place. So having a balance for me, when I got a balance, was the best thing I could have ever done with business.
What is a backup career you would like to do if you decide not to do it, be a motivational speaker?
Coaching.
Why?
I just love to see kids excel. It'll go right back to motivating. It'll go right back to motivating. It'll go right back to inspiring kids to be great in their field. Aspiring the kids to be great, to just excel I will, and you notice how quick I didn't have to think about that. I'll go right back to it because I was already there contemplating it. But one thing about me, I don't want to cheat a kid. And when I say cheat a kid, it goes back to balance as well. Because of my work schedule, I couldn't be on a football field. Well, I could be there on Friday nights, but during the weeks is when it counts. Because you got to be able to show kids, teach kids, and be able to demonstrate those, whatever you need for them to do throughout the week in order for them to perform on game day. So if I can't be there throughout the week, what am I going to do on game day? Show up and motivate them? But I haven't been teaching them all week. So I can't come up on Friday and I'm not there during the week. I'm cheating the kids. And I will not cheat the kids and I won't cheat the program. So that's why I pulled back from coaching because I knew I was getting deeper into the beauty industry. But that's why I was able to answer that question so quick. If it was something else, that would be the thing I would go to, back to coaching.
What sport did you coach? Or what sport would you coach?
Football and baseball. Yeah, football and baseball. Basketball, I would want to go in and probably do some motivating on the side and encouraging on the side. But football and baseball, I would, you know, we outside. We outside. We able to get ugly. We able to do what we need to do in the gym. They can be pretty. They can do what they do in the gym. But you see Coach E be dressed up on that sideline? That's what he does. But me, nah, I'll dress up now. But football and baseball, it gives me another outlet for me to be able to relate a lot with them because I play those games well. So I'll be able to relate real well with them.
Where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
5 to 10 years. Right now, I'm 42. I'll be 47. Next 5 to 10 years, I see myself owning a franchise. And I see myself having an event center, a thriving event center that will host events, and also be able to have classes, seminars, and shows. Youth programs there as well. I see myself in the next 5 to 10 years having a franchise of salon suites, where salons will be able to come in and stylists will be able to come in and work in a luxury atmosphere with the utilities and everything, the amenities, all that they need to come in and just turn the lights on and work. So
sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
How do you overcome the challenging obstacles in your life?
Trust God. I trust God. Was I always here? No. Honestly, I wasn't. But now, because I have a revelation and understanding of who God is and who he is to me and how good, how great he has been throughout my life, I trust him. Yep, I trust God.
So what are some motivational steps you took to be the person you are now?
Consistency. Like I told him earlier, consistency and showing up. Every day wasn't a good day for me, but I had to command my day. I had to command my day. Every day wasn't a good day, but when I woke up in the morning, I had to command my day. So with me commanding my day to say that morning, today is going to be a great day, that's already in my mind because I spoke it first thing in the morning. So even if something comes up, guess what's in the front of my mind? What I said when I woke up this morning. It's going to be a great day. So regardless of what happens, regardless of what, remember what I told y'all, things are not as good as it seems. Things are not as bad as it seems. Somewhere in between reality fall. My reality hinges on what I speak, what I believe. Regardless of what I see, that's what it hinges on. So if I'm speaking that out of my mouth first thing in the morning, that's how I'm expecting my day to go. But if something comes up, I didn't expect something to happen, but I expect to have a great day. So guess what happened? My expectation outweighs whatever happens. Today is going to be a great day because I spoke it. So commanding my day.
For the topic of the week, the importance of social media for school athletes. So why is it important to keep your social media clean?
It's important to me because you got so many people that you don't think watch you that really is watching.
Yeah.
And social media is all around the world. One little post can spread in a certain amount of seconds and you won't even know.
Yeah, one little post could ruin your, you know, your sports career.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but it was a college athlete who posted some pictures, and they kicked him out of college.
Yeah.
Ended up going to a community college.
Yeah, that's definitely no joke to play with, man, especially when you want, you know, you did so good throughout, you know, high school, you know, getting to where you want to be in. Like, you done elevated all throughout high school. Then you get to college, and colleges look at your background and stuff, and then they say you can't do, you know, what you want to do in life because, you know, that the social media background and stuff just holds you back. So that's, like, very important in, you know, life and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, one mistake could cost you your whole entire future. And I got to remember that, especially, you know, me just, I guess, being a rapper, you know?
Yeah.
I got to remember that.
And then I think, too, when you think about social media, you know how they say your social security card is really your identification. Your driver's license is your identification. Because what do? They identify you by those numbers. They identify you by your social, your 7-digit social. They identify you by your driver's license. Social media identifies you by what you post. Think about that. It identifies you by what you post. And there's so much that can go with that. But you think about it. If you post a picture, if you're promoting your business, and you're continuously promoting your business, promoting your business, promoting your business, people will know you for business because you promote your business. If you're promoting your kids, people are going to know you for promoting your kids. Oh, he promotes his kids. If you're promoting gang violence, oh, he a gangbanger. It labels you immediately. Social media labels you immediately. And think about it. When I say we were created to stand out and not fit in, people could be on social media portraying something, fitting in, that they don't even have nothing to do with, but they will be associated with a particular thing because that's what they're continuously posting.
Yeah, that can get them in real trouble.
Real trouble.
Like life or death situation, so that's really bad.
What do y'all think are some of the pros and cons of athletes using social media? It's for anybody who wants to answer it.
That's a lot, you know, yeah. With that. I mean, because the pros, you think about it, the pros, they could use that even for scouting, you know, options. They could use that just to get their name out there on social media. Like I said, it goes back to your identity. But the cons of it is knowing your circle, because you can be guilty by association. You can be on social media. Somebody just post a picture. You post a picture and you got your friends in the background drinking, smoking. Remember, what's your identity then if that picture is seen and you're a star athlete? Who are you associated with? Oh, and you may not be doing it. That's why it's good to keep your social media clean. That's why it's real good to understand who's in your circle, who's doing what in your circle, because something can get posted on social media and you will be associated with it just because that's your friend or that's your homeboy, that's your homegirl. That's a con that I would definitely not want to have or be associated with. Those are some things that athletes have to think about. And that's why I said it goes back to leadership. Leadership. Who are you leading and how are you leading? Or who are you following? So there's cons, pros. You have a lot of pros and cons with it, but I would have to say dealing with the cons, just knowing who your circle is, knowing who you posting, you know? So
yeah, because there's a dude from Florida. He died. He was going to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And he was I don't think he was really associated, but he was friends with him, you know? And, you know, after that full season of football, he was going to go and play over there at Louisville. And then I think it was like a week after the game that he played, I think it was like Wednesday or something like that, he died. He got shot, all because of people he was hanging with. So he didn't even get to play his first year in college because, you know, the people that he hang out with and the persona that he put out with the people that he hang out with and stuff like that. So
And see, and then you think about this. Parents, when a lot of people don't want to listen to parents, parents know because they've been there already. So it's like, hey, be mindful. Don't you go out there doing, and then it's like, oh, you old school, or oh, you don't know what you're talking about, or oh, but then when things happen, God forbid if it gets tragic, now it's, you know, somebody lost a loved one, somebody, now there's another void that need to be filled. So you also want to think too and appreciate your parents or show them the respect when you're posting to say, hey, my parents taught me better. I know better. I don't want to embarrass my parents. Well, enough embarrass myself, but I don't want to embarrass my parents or my step-parents or my godparents or whomever. I don't want to, you know, embarrass them as well. So you definitely got to think about your parents when you're posting.
I have something to add to that. So I was watching a documentary about DeMar DeRozan, and, you know, he grew up with, like, his whole family was Crips. They were all in gang. They were all in the gang. And he never got in the gang. He had opportunities, he said, to get in it. And he said one time he was getting robbed. He was about to get robbed by fellow gang members because, you know, he wasn't in the gang. It's not like complete unprotection. So he was about to get robbed, and they say it was cool with him. So I guess, like, I don't know how that works out.
Yeah.
I feel like once you hang around certain people that's labeled as bad people, then everybody else expect you to be labeled as a bad person too.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Guilty by association.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to there.
Right. Guilty by association.
How do we feel about using social media to promote, like, athletes promoting themselves on social media? Honestly, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't post the wrong thing, I think it's great. Because I seen a 5'8 dude who had like some crazy vertical. I think it was over like 55 inches. He was 5'8", and he ended up joining the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're talking. I can remember that.
Yeah.
And then you think about, too, the way that the market is going as far as now the students being able to get endorsements. So as long as you're promoting the right thing, that's another thing high school kids got to look at before even going to the next level. There's kids now that are leaving straight out of high school with $1 million contracts, right? But that kid had to make sure that his social media was clean. Because before somebody invests money in you, they're going to research you.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how talented you are, they're going to research you. So you think about that promoting themselves is great. I think that it's great. But just like you said, promoting the right stuff, that's what's going to be key. Because before I invest money in any athlete or any other business that will want to invest in an athlete, they're going to make sure they're going to get a return on their investment.
Do y'all think social media is a distraction?
Yes.
It depends, honestly. It really do.
But it doesn't, but I'm on the it do part because, like, you don't get to hang out with people, really, because, you know, you're always in your phones and stuff like that. You don't get to interact with the real world and see, like, the real world for, like, what it really is because you're always in your phone and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm on the it do part a little bit, so.
Especially people that sit in the house and, like, you know, be on the game when it's sunny outside, good weather.
Yeah.
Like, go outside, play basketball or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Then you think about it. If you're always here,
mm-hmm.
and this is the way you communicate
with
your fingers, 9 times out of 10, you don't know how to communicate with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Walk in any airport right now, any bus station, walk in any place where there's services or stuff being done or people are waiting. 9 times out of 10, they're on their phones. They're on their phones. But when you think about millennials and you think about high school kids and youth, you think about everything you see is like this.
Yeah.
But then when you hold a conversation with them, some of them really don't know how to communicate. because all the communication is short text, emojis. So let's communicate. Write me a paper. You can't put emojis on the paper to communicate. You have to know how to have a full sentence. You have to, when you're turning in work, you got to know how to have the paragraphs done. You got to know how to do all that. But because we've gotten to an age to where we're technical savvy from a standpoint of social media and texting, social media takes a lot of time mm-hmm. away from you. You say, I'm going on there just to check this. So I'm going to be on for 5 minutes. Then you're on for 2 or 3 hours. That's time that you could be doing something else. And I say that because I've been there. Even as an adult, I've been there. I'm getting on here just to check, see if I got da da da. Sometimes I have to turn my notifications off. Because think about it. If your notification was a buzz or a beep, oh, let me check this. What if something important was going on? You missed it. You missed it. Because why? I got to check my notifications. I got to see this. So I think that, I'm like, my man, I think that it could be a big distraction. It could be a big distraction.
I mean, my dad's a baby boomer, which means he was born from like, you know, I think it's from the 40s to like the mid 60s. Mm-hmm. He has like great communication skills. And I think people that are older than, I say probably like 35, probably have like the best communication skills because all this phone and like electronic stuff came later in their life. So they didn't have to like grow up with it like us teens are.
Mm.
All right. We'd like to thank you for your time, Mr. Wilson. Do you like want to give any shout outs to anybody?
Yeah, I definitely want to give a big, big shout out, man, to you all for doing what you are doing with this. This is phenomenal. It takes courage. And it also takes a will to be able to put things out of this magnitude. And it set precedent on so many different levels because this is something that y'all don't have to do. But I can tell today through your speech, through your talking, through the interaction that you're passionate about it. So kudos to you all. Definitely kudos and a big shout out to Coach E for this opportunity to be able to come in and speak today. A big shout out to every kid, every youth that's doing what they need to do to get to the next level. So I thank y'all again for having me today. Prayerfully, hopefully, that it was something said through this podcast or through the conversation earlier, the dialogue earlier in reference to saying it, speaking it, believing it, and walking in it. So you got to set your expectation. Remember, things are not always as good as it seems. Things are not always as bad as it seems. Somewhere in between, reality falls. So thank y'all so much for having me.
Antonio, you want to give any shout-outs to anybody?
To Mr. Wilson, because, you know, I learned a few things, and I can relate to him. So, yeah, I learned a few things, and I can definitely say that.
DeMar?
Well, Antonio, you took mine, but I would like to shout him out, too, because everything that you were saying, I can go back and say that I talked to communicated with somebody who is a motivational speaker.
That's good.
I want to give a shout-out to Tristan and Coach and Mr. Wilson because I mean I can relate to some of the stuff you did. Can't relate to all of it, of course, but I can relate to some of the stuff you did. And this what you said up there was like, you know, made me think. Thank you for listening once again. Remember, you can listen to Hartsville Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. I am your host, Andrew Jaworski, with
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks, and we're out. Boom! We'll be right back.